Well, good morning. Good to see all of you today. It's a beautiful, bright, sunshiny day. A little bit windy, so we'll have to hold on to our hats and hold on to our notes as we go through this. But I'm so glad to be here today. My name is Graham Mitchell, and I've been looking forward to being with you since Sarah Jane asked me if I would come in and fill in for her today. If there are any children, there is going to be someone with Children's Church. I think Diane is here as well, and she says she'll be taking the children and heading on down. If they're going to have cookies and stuff, I'm going with them. Shall we pray together as we prepare for worship? O gracious and holy God, give us diligence to seek you, wisdom to perceive you, and the patience to wait for you. Grant us, O God, a mind to meditate on you, eyes to behold you, ears to listen for your word, a heart to love you, and a life to proclaim you. Through the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. Let us pray together. Lord, thank you again for this beautiful day. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and worship. And thank you that we can be in this beautiful place. And even though there is that stiff breeze, it reminds us of the movement of your Spirit within our lives and hearts. And today we rejoice. As we worship, may our hearts be filled with your Spirit. And may we go from here with joy and with gladness. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For our hymn today, Praise You the Lord Almighty, and it is in the little insert in the bulletin. Come now to the time of confession. People have often asked me, why is it that we confess our sins every time we meet? And it's not that I'm just confessing my sins or confessing your sins. It is that joint deal where we come together and recognize all of us have fallen short and we all need that grace and forgiveness. So let us pray together. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength. Through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. The good news that I proclaim to you, to myself, to all of us today, is that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And in that, we are glad and rejoice today. Glory Patri. Before we read the scriptures together, shall we pray? Lord, your word is that light to our pathway. It is that lamp that shines the way, helping us to see where we need to put our next footstep. So as we read today, may we hear your word. May we hear it in our hearts as well as within our minds. And we pray that we will learn not just facts, but we will learn what it is to be a follower of Christ. Learn more than what we have known before, and may we be challenged to step out even further. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Somewhere I've got my notes. I thought today, because it was a little bit windy, that instead of bringing all kinds of books and so on, I would just bring one set of papers. But I've seen already that that might be a disaster as well, so we'll see how it goes. There are two scriptures I'd like to read, one from Acts chapter 4 and the other one from 1 John, reading from chapter 1 and reading from verse 1 of that. In the Acts passage, it reads like this. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy persons amongst them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. And then in 1 John chapter 1, reading from verse 1 and going through chapter 2 and verse 2, John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and what we have heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to you to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him, and we declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live in the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. I've often said when I've come here to speak that when I use the lectionary resources and go from there, that it always seems to me that it falls on a passage of scripture that's hard to deal with. But today, not so, I thought, until I started doing some more research and some more reading and discovered, well, there's a lot more here than what I thought that we needed to talk about today. So my wife told me many, many, many years ago that when she was throwing me kisses in church while I was preaching my sermon, it wasn't that she was telling me how wonderful I was, but she was telling me, keep it short, silly, keep it short. So I will attempt to do that today. In the passage we just read, John testifies that Jesus Christ has opened the door to fellowship for all believers, so believers can have fellowship with one another and they can have fellowship with God. But he says, if we claim to be in fellowship, but we live in darkness, then we are lying and the truth does not find itself within us. And that we need to be able to confess our sins and live in the light so that we can have fellowship with one another. This is a surprising message that we find within the lectionary today. You know, the story in the Gospel of John, talking about the resurrection of Jesus today, would deal with the story of Thomas, who was not there when Jesus first appeared to his disciples, and he wouldn't believe it. He said, I won't believe it until I can see him myself, until I can put my fingers into the wounds in his side and in his hands. And it wasn't too much longer after that when Jesus stood up before him and said, okay, go ahead, touch. And Thomas falls down on his knees and says, my Lord and my God. That's a powerful story, but sometimes what we forget about in that story is that Thomas is all alone. The other disciples are finding themselves in a joyful situation. They're puzzled. They're amazed. They cannot talk about anything else but that Jesus is alive. And Thomas is outside of that. He is not within that fellowship, not within that community, until that day that he meets Jesus. And it's a remarkable transformation that takes place in his life. Sometimes for us as disciples, we find ourselves isolated from one another. And it's not just because of the pandemic, but because of other things that come into play in our lives as well. I know that for my own self, and as I've talked and counseled with so many people, I've come to recognize that probably the hardest thing that you and I can do as individuals is for us to be able to accept ourselves the way that we are. I have that strong feeling that if everybody knew me the way that I knew me, they'd all hate me like I hate me. And we find ourselves like that all the way through our lives. We're so used to putting up a front, putting up some way of some kind of picture of what we want people to think we are like rather than what we are really like, because we don't like ourselves and therefore we are sure that nobody else will like us. We can't accept ourselves, but that also means we can't accept other people either. And in these stories that we have read today, all of that mix comes into play. This fellowship that we have with one another begins with this relationship with God, the realization that Jesus is alive and that that resurrection life is ours to live, and we can live in that, that he looks at you and he looks at me not as people whom he hates, but as people whom he loves. I was always taught that the only people that God loves are those people who have come to faith in Christ, but I've come to recognize that that's not true. Jesus loves all humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And what I believe that these writings are telling us today is that we can come into that kind of fellowship when we first of all find forgiveness within ourselves. But I think in the counseling that I've done in churches, I've come to realization that so many people are come to the front of the church or come to the preacher or whatever is necessary at that point, and they make their prayer of confession, and they say, I believe that you have forgiven me of my sins, but they go away with unbelief because they are still convinced that God could not possibly love them because of what they've done, because of who they are. And they live in that kind of isolation. And when we find ourselves in that kind of isolation, unhappiness and joylessness becomes part of life. I know in an earlier span in my time in the holiness tradition, I found myself constantly working and striving to be a holy person. So on Sunday, I'd go to church, and the preacher would preach a fiery sermon, and I knew he was looking right at me into my soul, recognized I was that person. And so he would call for people to come to the front of the church. I would run, because I knew that I had to meet with God and take care of these terrible things in my life. And then after prayer and even some weeping and crying, I'd go home feeling so much better. But the next day, I was in the same situation as I was before. And eventually, it just became a wearisome, terrible burden to be a Christian because I could never live up to what God wanted me to be. And I nearly gave up on the whole enterprise altogether. Until I recognized something deep in my spirit one day while I was in prayer. I'd given up. I was so exhausted. I didn't know what to do. I had nowhere to go. And I was lying literally face down on the floor. And there, in that moment where I could no longer speak, I could no longer cry, there were no more tears, there was only this inner groan that could not really be uttered. In that quiet moment, just as clearly as if it had really happened, I heard a whisper in my ear, "But Graham, I love you." And that moment was a transforming moment. I couldn't believe what I was hearing, because I was convinced there's no way that that could possibly be true. But it is true. And when we begin to live in that kind of love and in that kind of acceptance, it changes the way I think about myself. It'll change the way you think about yourself. And when we change the way that we think about ourselves, it makes us change the way we view others. Because if I can accept myself as I am, before God, knowing in all my imperfections, in all my sinfulness, God still loves me and accepts me and atones for me, forgives me, then I can then accept other people's sins and shortcomings as well and forgive them also. And it's all intricately tied together. But this is the life that we are called to live as fellowship in a fellowship of believers. In the realm of religion, we have built a very exclusivistic culture, it seems. We accept only those who believe the same way as we do. We've developed a worldview that is very much the us and them perspective. And I'm convinced that one of the reasons for that is that when I heard the gospel preached, it was a very individualistic thing. I was told that God was dealing with me in isolation from everyone else. And that it was a very individualistic, personal deal. I had to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. And all that's true. There is that moment of commitment that needs to be made. But what I was not told is that in this whole process, I was becoming one with a whole community of faith. And it took years for me to begin to realize that and to know that that is so. So that the fragmentations and the fightings and the difficulties that we have within our society, I think, can be largely solved if we will be filled with God's Spirit, as we find out within these scriptures, and find ourselves united with God and united with our fellow believers as well. When we think of our failures to apprehend our connectedness within our world, within countries, and even amongst different denominations, we find that ideologies continue to rule completely, and we find ourselves destroying each other and destroying our planet, and yet at the same time asking ourselves, what can we do about this? If we could just begin to believe in the resurrection as a lived reality, I think we could turn a lot of that around. Once we recognize that God's love flows through everything and flows through everyone, then we can open ourselves to see the connections that God's life creates. And we can then begin to experience the joy of our connectedness, ultimately then working towards unity and interdependence, not independence. I found a little writing from Buechner, one of my favorite authors, and he originally published this in a book called The Faces of Jesus. And he writes, "If the world is sane, then Jesus is mad as a hatter. And the Last Supper is a mad tea party. The world says, mind your own business. And Jesus says, there is no such thing as your own business. The world says, follow the wisest course and be a success. And Jesus says, follow me and be crucified. The world says, drive carefully. The life you save may be your own. And Jesus says, whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The world says, law and order. And Jesus says, love. The world says, get. And Jesus says, give. In terms of the world's sanity, Jesus is as crazy as a coot. And anybody who thinks he can follow him without being a little crazy too is laboring less under a cross than under a delusion." And I thought that was very, very fitting indeed. The starting point in all of this is to receive God's Spirit, to practice forgiveness, and to go into the world as those who are sent, like Christ, to bring grace, compassion, and justice to this world. Then, as we walk in the light with one another, we will begin to know the fellowship that God, that John wrote about, and we find abundant and limitless life in our connectedness with God and with one another. Believing so often has been taught as being a cognitive and intellectual thing, and resurrection as a doorway to personal eternal bliss. Unfortunately, both those views alone create division, conflict, and isolation, and make people live very much apart from one another. The spread of individualism to the life of faith has left in its wake the remains of broken families, broken churches, and broken communities. But resurrection life, resurrection faith strengthens us. It inspires us. It makes our work more effective because we draw both on the resources of God's Spirit and of our own togetherness. In this way, God's resurrection life becomes more than just an idea that gives hope. It becomes a lived reality for everyday life and leads us absolutely into that glorious joy, that sense of belonging that we find in the citizens of God's reign. May the Lord bless us as we consider his word today. Let us confess our faith together as we say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We come now to our time of prayer, in which we pray for ourselves, we pray for people that we know, and we pray for the world around us. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful that we can come to you, even with some of the small things in our lives, knowing that for all of us, for each of us, those small things are important to you also. You know us, you know our hearts, you know our minds, you know our bodies. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who are afraid today. We pray for those who are consumed with those things that would destroy them. And we pray for healing, and we pray that you will set them free. We pray that you will touch us in our own lives, in our own bodies, in our own spirits, that we might be made alive in Christ. We pray for people that we know, and as we lift them to you today, we pray that you will touch them and make them whole. And I think it's this time, if you have somebody that you'd like for us to pray for, if you would just call their name out to the Lord as we are here together. Lord, we pray for these who have been called to you. You know them by name. You know where they live. You know the state of their hearts and their minds. And you love them dearly. We pray that you would encompass them with that love in a way that they would understand and know and experience it for themselves. Bring healing and strength to them, we pray. We thank you that you hear us, and we thank you for your love for us. Now we pray these things in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's conclude our service today by singing that beautiful hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Awake, my soul. Well, thank you very much for a beautiful time together. And I have thoroughly enjoyed singing those hymns.
That was a joy. You know, it's the first time in a year that I've actually sung a hymn with other people. That's been wonderful, really wonderful. Well, may the Lord bless you on your journey. May you be strengthened in your innermost heart by His Spirit. May His joy be your strength. And may that joy be complete in all of you. So go in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.